Well, welcome tonight. Man. You know, we are winding down. We getting through it. Amen. Compared to when we started.
Amen.
Boy, when this was announced, we hadn't made it to the grounds yet. And this was, it was rocky. I wish we'd go back in Egypt, where Mitzrayim, where the leeks and the onion was good and the fish was comfortable. Now you got your comfort zone. And the bread is burnt.
Only on one side.
Only on one side of how you look at it. this time right here that we're going through, it is a privilege and an honor to even be here, to be alive. You know, I was thinking when Sister Laura asked the question earlier, you know, what if some change, something we want to change, or however the question went. And for me, lately, these past couple of weeks, after looking at all this and coming into Sukkot and going through the feast days, life is so important. And here we're looking at it. We're looking at the two trees. And tonight, you know, I mean, I can't tell you, express how thankful I am to even be here, to be a part of this. That's because a lot of my life, I was devoted here. My loyalty was here. Until I heard the message, heard the preacher saying, "Choose life." During the message, I had to turn my head. He got me to turn and look at this tree. Now I value life so much. You want to know what my focus has been about life? Amen. But the thing about it, about coming with life, you have to be loyal to this.
Yeah, that's right.
If not, you're going to be loyal to this. Amen. You're going to go either way. So tonight's about loyalty. Where does our loyalty lie? It's not in the one that's bringing the word. I'm thankful for it. Y'all put him in that spot. Because we have to have a leader. We have to have somebody to help us, to teach us, to show us the way, to help us out, to show us the way. And when he said follow, and the way was what? Follow my master. That's what he's been saying to us all this time. But our loyalty has to be to him. So,
Amen.
And this is so important during this time. You know, so we're going to, loyalty not only, this, but look, we, you know, when he said putting the tent up, we murmured a little bit. Let's not get out there. We murmured. I murmured. Man, I told my wife, you know, it'd be so much easier. We had to set up by the church because the bathroom's there. And I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm going to go with it. And just, you know, you got to be committed to it. And come with loyalty, you know, come with that. It tests your character.
That's right.
It's not only your loyal, how's that character looking? Look, people are watching. Visitors are coming in. People saw how that are we clean here? Is our loyalty here? We still want to hold on here? Or are we totally sold out here? Mm-hmm. This is what Sukkot is about. Selling out here. You know, and we're being warned. We've been warned. Our master said a long time ago, I forewarned you.
Yeah.
We gotta pay attention to his words. And not only comes with the loyalty and the character, love. Our love for him. This was all mentioned prior teaching, and just prior this week, you mentioned about love. Because without love, if we don't love this setting, you know, Mosquito Bay, it's so much easier to be home. Why can't we put our tent in the backyard like we will? It's not what he commanded us to do.
Sure.
It's meant to get out of that comfort zone. Because you know, who knows? Who knows in some future? I know we say it all the time. But what if this really was our life? What if we really said that as a group together? That's where safety is at in number, in the group, not individually. So look, you're either going to be loyal here, that's what we learned, or you're going to be loyal here. And that says a lot.
Amen.
That you hear every day, every meeting. Look, to speak is an honor to speak. Yeah. And so this is something that I've been holding on to for a little bit. Because we want to look at loyalty. What is it? What does it look like? Do we have anything in the scripture to see what loyalty tests us? Is this part of the test? Well, maybe it is. But I know one thing. Yehovah orchestrated all this. This is not by our own hand, not of our own doing. Mm-hmm. The vision came, the dream came, and here we are together. So we're going to be loyal to it. Loyalty is faith fullness and unwavering devotion to a person, a group, country, or cause, demonstrating a strong sense of allegiance and commitment. You got to be committed to this. It involves trust, support, and willingness to make sacrifices for the object of loyalty, even when it may be disadvantages. I mean, you know, we have disadvantages here. Loyalty can be shown through action, like consistency, honesty, standing by someone in their absence and in presence is often crucial for building trust. Look, this is living together. This is past camping. Look, we're out here, we're actually living together. And we're making it happen. But like I said, before when this first came out, and you could tell the nervousness as it was getting close. And we came in and the rain came. Just a week before all this, all the rain was, And news, if you get caught up in the news, they say it's going to rain all week. You were talking about a chance for rain. So, boy, that's really going to test your character. But look, here we are. And we're halfway through there. But now we're down the stretch. This is where it gets crunch time crucial because it's really tiresome waking up. Some of us got to go to work in the morning. So it's just, it wears on you, wears on the body. Look, I went home today. I sat in my recliner, took my shower, sat in my recliner. There. I was ready. I just want to close my eyes just for a little while. I said, nope, I ain't doing it. I refuse to do it. I'm getting up. Why? Well, I said, you going ahead of me? I said, yep, I'm going to the camp. But I know it's flesh. We talking about flesh.
Right.
What does he want to do? He wants to just hold you down. He wants to lean over here. You don't have to go right now. Hear the whispers. Loyalty is demonstrating steadfast support, allegiance, and faithfulness to a person, idea, or entity, even through difficult times, often involving sacrifice and prioritizing their will being over personal gain. Remember, the fruit is not for you. That's one thing we learned. But what about loyalty in the scripture? Loyalty in the Bible is a virtue of steadfast devotion and commitment to Yehovah. That's why loyalty first goes there. Then it's going to come back to the one he set in place in order. Now you know he's about order. And others, as amplified by Yah's own faithfulness, his own loyalty to you. In his covenants, the human qualifiers of loyalty in relationships, marriage, and friendship, key biblical themes include Yah's unwavering love, the importance of showing this same character, though unwavering commitment even in adversity. So yeah, we all have disadvantage here. But we all pull together. How happy we'll be. Mm-hmm. But our devotion, our focus has to be here. So we've all waiting here. So you know, I'm living proof. That's why I'm still here. Because I had to make this adjustment. And now I want to eat here and continue to eat here. So this is one of the verses that was read the other night. I'm going to breeze through it, but it was in my notes. But we're going to show how we're all connected in the same page. It's in Devarim 8, chapter 8, 1 through 20. This is the first thing that was mentioned, I think last night, was when this verse came up. It says, guard to do every command which I command you today, that you might live. I love that right off the back, because I'm so about life right now. I think, look, even in the animal world, and my brother can tell you, I'm tired of death, but it's a part of our life, the world we live in. But I so much want to cling to life, that you might live and shall increase and go in and shall possess the land of which Yehovah swore to your fathers, and you shall remember Yehovah your Elohim led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, to prove you, to know what is in your heart, whether you guard his commands or not. This is where we are. He's bringing us out here to do what? To test our character, our loyalty, our love for him. Because if you don't, if any one of them, you lacking, I'm going to tell you, you're going to struggle. And look, after this year, oh, guess what? You got a whole year to plan again. That goes to show his mercy towards us. Look, and so in the process, we got other events going to be coming up. This is one that's talked about in the millennium. that you're going to be a part of.
Yep.
You can't get out of this. It's stuck with you. And he humbled you. Learn about that. And let you suffer hunger. I tell you what, this week there's been no suffering when hungry here. We've been blessed beyond measure. And let you suffer hunger. And fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, to make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of Jehovah. We have to chew on his word. This is what we live by. I know the food's been great, but without his word, the food don't even matter. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your feet swell these 40 years, your foot swell. Thus you shall know in your heart that a man disciplines his son, so Jehovah, Jehovah disciplines you.
Amen. Thank you.
Therefore you shall guard the command. You shall guard the command. He constantly tells us to guard the command of Jehovah your Elohim, to walk in his ways and fear him. Pastor didn't throw this together. This is all you, so, because this is his ways. This has been instructed way before we come along. All we got to do is go back. I'm so glad we did. Verse 7, for Jehovah your Elohim is bringing you to a good land, a land of streams of water, fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you eat bread without scarcity, in which you do not lack at all, man, and a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you dug copper. And you shall eat and be satisfied, and shall bless Jehovah your Elohim for the good land which he has given you. Be on guard. There's a condition. Be on guard. Follow me. Lest you forget Jehovah your Elohim by not guarding his commands and his right rulings and his law which I command you today. Lest you eat and be satisfied and build lovely houses and shall dwell in them, and your herds and your flocks increase, and your silver and your gold are increased, and all that you have is increased, that your heart then becomes lifted up. And you forget Jehovah, your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Mitzrayim, from the house of bondage, who brought you out of here. This is where we all was. Everyone. Well, hold on. This is where I was. Now, maybe you can relate, you was here too, living in this area. Who led you through the great and awesome wilderness, fiery serpents and scorpions and thirst where there was no water, who brought water out for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, in order to humble you and to try you and to do good to you in the end. Well, I believe we're in the end. Mm-hmm. And he wants to do good to us. We have to obey his command.
Amen.
We have to eat from the right tree. I'm so thankful. You know how thankful I am to be on this subject. After just going through just a funeral the other day. I'm on today's Sunday. There's so much. We just enjoying it so much. But we have to eat from this tree. To humble you. And then you shall say, then shall say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand has made this wealth. But you shall remember Jehovah your Elohim, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, in order to establish his covenant with you, which he swore to your fathers, as it is today. And it shall be, if you by any means forget Jehovah your Elohim, and follow after other mighty ones and serve them and bow yourself to them, I have warned you this day that you shall certainly perish.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it. He's telling you. You forget him, you shall certainly perish. If you continue eating from this tree, which he commands you do not eat from, you shall certainly perish. Like the nations which Jehovah is destroying before you, so you are to perish because you did not obey the voice of Jehovah your Elohim. Obeying, Lord, you have to. It comes, Lord, obeying comes with loyalty.
Amen.
They go together, hand in hand. You can't. You have to be loyal to him.
That's right.
We have to You know, when he asks us to go, go. There should be more questions. He's been there before. But us, we're so, because we're so tainted, so bad, twisted so bad because of the world's way. Look, just tonight, I said, it goes to show you how long we've been dancing away. We come to learn a simple dance, Hebrew, to his music, dancing to his tune, and we're so out of rhythm. That's how far off we are. We're learning. But we're learning. We come, look, last year we wasn't dancing. This year, we're showing him that we want to be here.
Yes.
We've come to give him our praise, give him our all. We want to be devoted to him. And he'll be devoted to us. Remember, it's what you put in is what you're going to get out of it.
That's right.
You know, we can't, if you come here with no expectation, you're going to get nothing out of it.
That's right.
So this Sukkot here means a lot to me that we're doing. And now that we know that how it's all set up, we already talked about next year and the improvements that we can make and the steps we're going to take and just, look, this is great time.
Hallelujah.
But let's look at loyalty. Let's look at some examples in the Bible, in the scripture. I just wanted to point that out because he wants to know what's really in our heart. You can fool me and I can fool you. I can pull it over on you. But you ain't pulling it over on him.
Yes,
he sees the heart. He'll let you know.
Amen.
So let's look at a story in 1 Samuel. Some of you might be familiar with this one. In 1 Samuel 18. Maybe we just hadn't visited in a while. Let's look at loyalty between two friends. You talk about loyalty to each other. Let's see what the scripture says. I don't want to tell you about it. And it came to be in verse 1, when he had ended speaking to Shaul, that the being of Jonathan was knit with the being of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own being. That's friendship right there. Look, you talk about loyalty to each other, two young boys? Loved each other. That's the friend. That's the kind of love that Yah wants to put between. Let's look at this word knit. He said it was knit together. Or they were. It's H7194. I gotta turn this sideways for this one. A little better than that. Kashar. It's primitive root. To tie, physically gird, confine, compact, or mentally in love, league, bind up, mate, conspiracy. Really? In loyalty? Oh, yeah. Remember, these two close friends, I got your back no matter what. You're going to conspire together. And we're going to see some, I'm going to show you that another spot where loyalty, but you give me loyalty to the wrong thing. You're not loyalty, you're loyalty here. You think you're doing good. Lord, it'll cost you your life. Join together. Knit strong. Work. Treason. They're just so willing to give up their life for each other. They put their life on the line for each other. Two friends. It's to tie and sash and conspire. A sash that is tied around the waist. And you tie a knot. Look, I can tie a knot. You can tie a knot. Sometimes we call a knot the hatchet knot. And the only thing you can wear, you can untie it. You got to cut it loose. It's just this bond that him and Jonathan have together. V is to tie around. It also means conspire in a sense of tying up. You know, these two young boys, let me tell you, they were friends for life. They even made a pact. Is what, because later on, I'm going to get to it, but they make a pact together that when, because he knows David's going to become king one day. And he tells him, he says, don't forget my seed that comes up after me. We know later on Jonathan loses his life. But David, man, it's got to be somebody else from the house of Shaul that he's going to show kindness to. His loyalty, because that covenant they made, that him and Jonathan made. So this loyalty, let me tell you. So you say, well, where's the conspiracy? You remember how his daddy wanted to kill him, Shaul the king. And he wants to kill David because David is becoming a man of the people. He's winning the hearts of the people. No different than we should be doing, winning the hearts of the people. Why? Because it's about life. And it's raking as many as we can So the story, I'm gonna tell you, this story is so beautiful. You gotta go read it, you know, because it's sake of time. We need hours to look at this. But look at something in chapter 20. Did they have a conspiracy? They have a pact in this loyalty, their friendship. Look at verse 11. And Jonathan said to David, "Come, let us go out into the field." And they both went out into the field. And Jonathan said to David, "Yehovah Elohim of Israel be witness. When I search out my father sometime tomorrow or the third day and see if there is good toward David, and I do not send to you or disclose it to you. So let it Yehovah do so and much more to Jonathan. And if it pleases my father to do you evil, then I shall disclose it to you and send you away, and you shall go in peace, and Yehovah be with you as he has been with my father." They're making a pact together. Because why? Do you remember the feast time is coming, and David's not at the table with all the king's men? And the first day Saul let it slide. But the second day he's questioning, where is the son of Jesse? Where's he at? You know, you just can't just take off and go. You're loyal to this pack here. But he knows for the trouble of what he was into. But this is why they're making this covenant between one of this pack of loyalty. Are we that committed to him? This is what this Sokol, let me tell you, it tests us. It tests our character to see where we're at. He wants to know what's really in our heart. Do we really love him or not? Verse 16. And Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, Yehovah shall require it at the hand of the enemies of David. And Jonathan again made David swear because he loved him. For he loved him as he loved his own being. Who don't love themselves in here? And this is how strong this bond. I love. In the end, I love, you have to be this strong. Because why? Our life is on the line. We might not think we are, but your life is literally on the line. Because look, we might not be saying it, blowing with a bullhorn out there in the middle of the street. Let me tell you something, but you're still out there. You're out there as a witness for him. You know, we're commissioned to go out there for him and preach the word. Be salt and light. So, I mean, this is no small task that we carry. And sometimes we feel intimidated because we're human. And sometimes we're in a comfortable situation. But you remember, great is he that is within you as he that is in the world. Amen. Look, we got to hold the line. I mentioned this before. And Jonathan said to, verse 18, said to him, "Tomorrow the new moon, and you shall be missed because your seat shall be empty. And on the third day, go down quickly, and you shall come to the place where you hid on the day of the deed, and shall remain by the stone Estel. And let me shoot three arrows to the side of it as though shooting at a target. And see, I shall send the youth, saying, go find the arrows. If I expressly say to the youth, look, the arrows are on this side of you, get them and come. Then as Yehovah lives, there is safety for you and no concern. But if I say, thus says to the youth, look, the arrows go beyond you, go your way, for Yehovah has sent you away. And as for the word which you and I have spoken of, see, Yehovah is between you and me forever." His word is between us forever. You know, he don't break promises. We do. Do we let him down? Because a lot, sometimes we get a little distraction. We get beside ourselves a little bit. Have a bad day at work. Or whatever we do in your own private time. You get rubbed the wrong way. You know, there's a saying, you kill my dog, I kill your cat. We're not about revenge. It's not what the word teaches. You know, we have to stay focused. Our focus, our loyalty, regardless of whatever situation, our focus, our loyalty, has to be toward the tree of life. Yes. Man, that's just... Verse 31, we'll skip on down on this. This is Shaul king. This is him speaking right here. For as long as the son of Yishai lives on the earth, you shall not be established, you and your reign. And now send and bring him to me, for he is the son of death. Wanted to kill Dawid. And Jonathan answered Shaul his father and said to him, why should he be put to death? What has he done? Two great questions right there. And at that, Shaul hurled a spear at him to smite him. When you want to kill your own son, you're in a bad spot. Jonathan knew, you're going to say right there, he really meant to kill Dawid. And Jonathan knew that his father had resolved to put Dawid to death. And Jonathan arose from the table in the heat of displeasure and ate no food for the second day of the new moon, for he was grieved for Dawid because his father had put him to shame. And it came to be in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with Dawid, and the small youth was with him. And he said to the youth, now run, find the arrows which I shoot. As the youth ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. And when the youth came to the place where the arrows which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan called out after the youth and said, is not the arrows beyond you? Some arrows are flying at us. I had somebody just tell me the other day, y'all must be the only one down here in the state of Louisiana teaching this. I said, no, we're not. I said, there are others. He said, where at? I said, just on the other side of the lake. I said, but if you're not looking, you ain't going to find. I said, but we might be the only one in Plaquemines Parish, but we're not alone. Yeah. But it doesn't mean the owls are not going to come by you. Once you start eating here, the owls will come. You're going to feel the pressure. You're going to feel the weight of the world closing in. Your world's going to get smaller. You know, yesterday out there playing duck, goose, and I watched the neighbor across over there. He must really think we lost our marbles. That's okay. We're being a light. We're enjoying life, what he set up for us to do. Be a part of this. Verse 30, and Jonathan shouted after the youth, make haste, hurry, do not stand still. And Jonathan youth picked up the arrows and came to his master. But the youth knew not to a speck. Only Jonathan and David knew the matter. Dawid knew the matter. Then Jonathan gave his weapon to the youth and said to him, go take them into the city. And as soon as the youth had gone, Dawid rose up from the south side and fell on his face to the ground and bowed down three times and kissed one another. And they wept together because Dawid so more so. Let me tell you, because their friendship right there, that's it. You're gone, you're not going to be with your buddy anymore. That's the situation. But their love for each other, their loyalty that they had, you can't break that. And look, I'm committed here. I really am. I've been, look, has the road been easy? No. I hit bumps and bruises all along the way. But you know what? I still remain faithful. And that's how I want him to find me faithful when he returns. And Jonathan said to Dawid, go in peace. Since we have both swore in the name of Yehovah, saying, Yehovah is between you and me, and between your seed and my seed forever. And he arose and left, and Jonathan went into the city. What a powerful story packed between two young men in their lives. They're young guys right here. They're not, you know, they're teenagers, but a pact they made. But I'll tell you, it's a powerful story, but you got to go back and read the full story. Another commitment. It was something that was another spot in loyalty in the Bible that was mentioned here just the other night was Naomi and Ruth. Mm-hmm. Ruth is H7327 friendship. And Naomi is H5281, my delight. I was so thankful when they mentioned this. So in Ruth 1, in verse 14, this was mentioned here just the other day. And they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. We have to hold on. We have to cling with all we got. Because it's going to be trying time. Because the hissing, remember? Both trees, they both pleasant to the eye. It looks good. But one has a sound that they both smell good. One has that hissing sound that comes. You really don't need to hear this tonight. Why are you even coming here? How silly it looks. No, that's true. We got to be cautious. We got to know now. We got to get rooted down because, right, look, we get. Who knows? After all this year goes around, we come into a new year. New laws and new rules coming out. Yeah, more deception. Deception is not going to just go away. It's going to get stronger. At time, that's why the information world for us, I'm so thankful what we're getting now.
Yes.
We have to spend time. Remember what we told you tonight. Trust the tent. Put your head up against it, because that's the time he wants to meet with you. There's a time he set aside, and look, if not, wow, what are we here for? We can go camping anywhere, anytime. Specifically in his word for us to be here, except for this. We have to be loyal to that, no matter what it looks like. Ruth clung to her, and she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her mighty ones. Go back. Follow your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to go back from following after you. For wherever you go, I go. And wherever you stop over, I stop over. Your people is my people, and your Elohim is my Elohim. What powerful word.
Yeah.
You know, a statement was made the other night that when Brother Nathaniel was here, yeah, when we got enough of pastor, Brother James said, send him over here. He don't know that we all going.
Yeah.
We're loyal. Not only to the church, we're loyal to him. And I'm so thankful. But let me tell you, loyalty, it costs. Loyalty, because it will put you to the test to see where you really stand.
That's right.
Lord, when you say I'm loyal to it and you're committed to it, and you look, wherever you go, I go. And where you stop, I'm going to stop. Let me tell you something. I'll bring you in places where it makes you uncomfortable. And then we'll see. Now we're going to see another example here, which you all know the story. How they conspired together in loyalty to each other, husband and wife. But you know what? They ate from the wrong tree. It brought them death. So look, in Acts. Y'all know the story? Chapter 5. But a certain man named Hananiah, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back from the price, his wife also being aware of it, conspiring together. They loyal to each other, husband and wife. And brought a certain part and laid it at the feet of the emissaries. But Kephas said, Hananiah, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the set apart spirit and to keep back from the price of the land for yourself? You sold it for this price? Yeah, we sold it for that price. Trying to pocket some of the money. That don't go on today. Yeah, right, okay. While it remained, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not your authority? Why have you conceived this deed in your heart? And you have not lied to men, but to Elohim. You can lie to each other here about your loyalty, but you can't lie to the one who brought us here. Who's kept you all these years? In tough times. We went through tough times. We went, you know, I wasn't here. That goes to show my loyalty back then. But since I've been here, just to, you know, our loyalty here, we've only lost one person. That's been on the team. I've seen that we really lost because of death.
Yes.
We went through COVID. Tough time. Everybody was sick. People were getting COVID at home. But we still made loyal to each other. We still stayed connected. And we never lost no one. So look. That goes to show how faithfulness and all your faithfulness, he'll do good to you in the end. But that's when we need him. And not just the end, we need him every day.
Amen.
And Hananiah, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last because he lied. Said, oh yeah, I sold it for this price, and you really didn't. Fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came upon all those who heard this. But the young men arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. And it came to be about 3 hours later that his wife came in, not knowing what had taken place. And Kepha responded to her, say to me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. They conspired together. Their loyalty was to each other. They're trying to hide, hold back. We can't hold back. We either we in We're either going to eat here for the rest of our days, or there's no stopping right here in the middle. You're just going to, you might as well go straight across. That's where you're going to eat from one or the other. That's why I shared one of the guys at work, that hat, that Hebrew letter is so important to me, because you either, there's a fence, that's a boundary that we can't cross. So what the fence was? To keep you in. That's why we come into the tent, to learn, being an inside man. I mean, that was so important. All this lines up perfectly. I don't know about for you, but it blessed me. Mm-hmm. Verse 9, and Kephas said to her, why have you agreed to try the spirit of Jehovah? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they shall carry you out. And immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And a young man came in and found her dead and carried her out there buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon all the assembly and upon all those who heard this. But there, you hear that fear, it'll grip you in the church world. But that's what happens when you conspire, but you conspire to do evil. Look, that's what the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's what it'll do to you. I didn't care about Ananias and Sapphira. That goes to show, when you conspire for the wrong reason, it'll cost. Mm-hmm. Now I'm gonna take it. Now this was just groundwork. There's another story I really wanted to take you. There's a few verses right here. I want to point out first. Matthew 6:24. No one is able to serve two masters. For he shall either hate the one and love the other, or else he shall cleave to the one and despise the other. You are not able to serve Elohim and Mammon. Where's your loyalty going to lie? Because you're going to serve one or the other. But you can't serve two masters. He tells us about this. In Psalms 31, when I was making the notes, I got you out of order. I'm going to go back and try to fix it up right here. In Psalms 31:23. Love, Yehovah, all you his loving committed ones. For Yehovah guards the trustworthy ones, and exceedingly repays the doer of pride. Because what happened? Ananias and Sapphira. That's what happened. When you try to lie and try to get around and cheat, look, he's gonna rightly judge. It's not gonna be no injustice found in him. What you sow, if you sow to the flesh, of the flesh you're gonna reap corruption. Be strong and let him fortify your heart. All you who are waiting for Yehovah. In 2 Timothy 2:10-10. So I endure through it all for the sake of the chosen, so that they too obtain deliverance, which is in Messiah Yeshua, with everlasting esteem. Trustworthy is the word. For if we die with him, we shall also live with him. That word trustworthy you find in loyalty definition. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also shall deny us. If we are not trustworthy, he remains trustworthy.
Hallelujah.
It is impossible for him to deny himself. So whether you want to be committed to him or not, he's still going to be found faithful. So we might as well put all our eggs and put it all in this basket right here and just camp here. This is what he's been telling us for a long time. We just couldn't hear it yet. But now we're hearing.
Thank you, Father.
Our eyes are opening. People are waking up to truth. It has been twisted for so long. The lie has been told for so long. It's time to untell the lie. In Revelations chapter 2, verse 10, says, do not be afraid. It's our master speaking. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. What? I don't what? Suffer? Yes. See, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison in order to try you, and you shall have pressure 10 days. Be trustworthy until death. You want to know how long you have to be in this? Until the end. And I shall give you the crown of life.
Hallelujah.
What a promise. That's the hope. But we got to remain faithful. We got to stay trustworthy to the end, even if it costs your life. Now we're going to look at a story right here. One we probably haven't read in a long time. It's in 1 Kings. Let me make sure. First King 21. There's some players in here that if I back up to chapter 16, you're gonna see about this king named Ahab. Ahab is H-256. He's the husband of a wife named Jezebel. Jezebel is H-348, Baal exalt, or Baal is husband to or unchaste. Let me tell you something. So that just her, when you go back and read about her, she looked like she was a tree of death. You told me. I mean, there was nothing good in Jezebel. You go read about her life. She was wicked. Very wicked. I'm going to see what she done. So let me just read the story. Let me see how loyalty, even though, you know, and against pressure and adversity in Naboth's life, it brought him to his death because of something he wouldn't give up, his inheritance. We can't give up our inheritance. You have to hold on no matter what the cost. And this, let me read it to you. In 1 Kings 21, and it came to be after these events that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard which was in Jezreel near the palace of Ahab, the sovereign of Chevron. Now this was family land. Now we all know about family land, family inheritance. This is what this is talking about. And Ahab said to Naboth, saying, give me your vineyard, and it shall be a vegetable garden for me, since it adjoins my house, and let me give you a better vineyard for it. If it is good in your eyes, let me give you its worth in silver. I can imagine this vineyard has been around a long time in this man's family. And that's been passed on. It's kept his family sustained all these years. And it's next to the king's plot. And the king wants it. He said, the enemy wants your spot. He wants to take your inheritance. He wants to put you in a 5 or 6 foot box, however tall you are. He wants you to lose out on your inheritance. Our inheritance, look, this what we see here, all this is going to be made new one day. It's been promised to the children of Israel who we're following. And we're part of that family. We're grafted into that family. If we say who we are. And one day the inheritance is going to become so real to us. But this inheritance is very valuable to Naboth and to his family. Don't you know he got sons? That once his life is over, this land is passed on to his son, his children. But you don't see them here. You got to go look for it. And Naboth said to Ahab, far be it from me by Jehovah that I should give you the inheritance of my fathers to you. Far be it that we should go back and leave this to go back to this lifestyle. We've really lost our marble. But the enemy won't stop. He'll pursue you. Look, and saying no to the king, this is a tough spot that Naboth is right here put in. The king wants the property. I'll give you money. Well, I'll give you a better. Well, if you got better, go use what you got. But you still, he could have got a little smart out of the conversation. But he, I like what he says right here. Far be it from Yehovah, I should give you my family land, my inheritance. And Ahab went into his house embittered and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoke to him when he said, I do not give you the inheritance of my fathers. And he lay down on his bed and turned away his face and did not eat food. Pansy pants. And Isabel, here we go. His wife came to him and said to him, why is your spirit so embittered that you are not eating food? And he said to her, because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite and said to him, give me your vineyard for silver, or if you prefer, I'll give you another vineyard for it. But he answered, I do not give you my vineyard. Imagine this is the king, acting as a kid. Because I mean, but you can't have, look, you can't have nothing that it don't belong to you. If somebody, the answer is no, it's no. Yehovah says no, it's no.
That's right.
And just be settled with it.
Amen.
So Isabel, his wife, said to him, do you now rule over Israel? Rise up, eat food, and let your heart be glad. Let me give you the vineyard for Naboth the Jezreelite. And she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters to the elders and the nobles who were dwelling in the city with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters saying, proclaim a fast and seat Naboth at the head of the people and seat two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, you have blasphemed Elohim and the sovereign, then you shall take him out and stone him to death. See, she's in the tree of death. Oh, you think she's good, but she's not real good. When you, that's one thing that Yah hates, to shed innocent blood. Scripture talks about that. And the men of his city, and the elders, and the nobles, who were inhabitants of his city, did as Isabel had sent to them, as it was written in the letters which she had sent to them. They proclaimed a fast and seated Naboth at the head of the people. And the men, sons of Belial, came and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth has blasphemed Elohim and the sovereign. So they took him outside the city and stoned him with stones, and he died. Naboth is age 50-22. His name means fruit. The Jezreelite, as has been pointing out to it, is age 31-58. See Jezreel, son of God. Are we son of him? That's the question I thought about. Am I son of him? Am I being fruit like Naboth to our community, to our neighbors? Because he was not giving up what his inheritance. And nor should you and I give up on air, even if it costs our life. This is how serious it's getting. We're getting down to crunch time, looking toward the end, that we got to get rooted and planted deep and hold on to the tree of life. Because we're dealing with life and death. Since we started on this journey, this is what it's been about. And we're still talking about Yosef. This is what I had to decide. This is so broad on where Yah took us. Down this road, we have to be committed. And look, I was like y'all. I was in the crowd. We hit a mid-rise, and we hear all the complaints and the whining, and we're gonna pee, and we're gonna take showers, and all that. We were sounding like the king right here. But I mean, look, we're making it. Look, we're down to three more nights. I said it to my dog today. I said, don't worry about Miss Sylvia. Three more nights, Daddy, we home. Well, let me tell you, is it tiresome? Is it stressful? Well, you gotta love, because our love for him, it's gotta be worth more than just coming together. Think we just a camping trip. It's much more than that. We really gotta dive into it. And stone him with stones, and he died. And they sent to Isabel saying, Naboth has been stoned and is dead. And it came to be when Isabel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, that Isabel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard, the Jezreelite, Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for silver, for Naboth is not alive, but dead. And it came to be when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose to go down to take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. Right there, if we stop there, the story, I'll leave you with a sad ending. You know that, yeah. I'm getting a free song right here. You're going to dry it up and get a little chilly there. But you know, that's not the end of the story. Death is not the final story. It's heartbreaking. It is when you lose a loved one. But it is heartbreaking. But just to show you, I'm going to come right back to this. But look, hold your spot. Did Naboth had any sons? Remember I mentioned that. Well, you don't find this in the story. So what we got to do? We got to go look. We got to go dive. We got to dig into this. Yes. But it's in 2 Kings chapter 9. Remember Jehu? He's going to come in and set the record straight. You know when the master comes, he's going to set the record straight. But in chapter 9, verse 26, just so you know that he had sons. And this is Jehu speaking. Have I not seen the blood of Naboth? Jehovah speaking, really. And the blood of his sons last night? He had boys. You know, because you don't read about it in 1 Kings, I just wanted to point out, he had sons that inherited to the family land. Declares Jehovah, and I shall repay you in this portion, declares Jehovah. And now take up, throw him on the portion according to the word of Jehovah. And that's a whole other story. It does connect.
2 Kings 9:26.
But I'm going to go back to 1 Kings. I just wanted to show you, to point out, because he did have sons. So back to 1 Kings 21. And I didn't know that.
I know he had sons too.
You know, you got to go digging. You really want to know how the story goes. You got to get all the pieces to put the puzzle together. How many of you know, yeah, Jehovah has a man. And this is not the first time that we're about to see Eliyahu the Tishbite. He confronted Ahab before, you know, trouble of Israel. But you got to go back to chapter 16. Anyway, it goes back to chapter 16. And the word of Jehovah came to Eliyahu the Tishbite, saying, rise up, go down to meet Ahab, sovereign of Israel, who lives in Shamarom. See, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone down to take possession of it. And you shall speak to him, saying, thus says Jehovah, have you murdered and also taken possessions? And you shall speak to him, saying, thus says Jehovah, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, the dogs are going to lick your blood, even yours. And Ahab said to Eliyahu, have you found me, O my enemy? And he answered, I have found you, because you have sold yourself to do evil in the eyes of Jehovah. That's what happens. When you take your eye from here, and you want to look what's over here on this tree, because it smells good. Remember, they both smell. They both got food on them. But he tells you to eat from this one, because this one has a sound in here that it'll draw you in. Once you get drawn in, it's hard to get sucked back out. Only Yah has mercy. His hand upon you can draw you back out. Look, I told my pastor the other day, just yesterday, Friday, my pastor was speaking. Let me tell you something, pastor. I appreciate you. Y'all sticking it out here. I said, I want to know, I'm with y'all. Because Father was speaking out, and he's going, what are you talking about? He's talking about choosing life. Because had y'all pulled out, I wouldn't be here. I know I wouldn't be here. I'd probably be in the box. This is what I told her. I'm so glad to be a part of the team.
Yes.
Amen.
You've sold yourself to do evil. I've done that already. And that's all it is death. Yeah, I mean, that's not. It looks good, it smells good, but then it's death. It's a way that seems right. It looks good. It's got to be it. But it's death. He warns us. See, verse 21, see, I am bringing evil on you, and shall consume your descendants, and cut off from Ahab every male in Israel, both those shut up and those left at large, and make your house like the house of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasa, son of Ahijah, because of the provocation which you have provoked me and made Israel sin. And also of Isabel, Jehovah has spoken, saying, the dogs are going to eat Isabel by the well of Jezreel, and the dogs are going to eat whatever belongs to Ahab and dies in the city, and the birds of the heavens are going to eat whatever dies in the field. Let me tell you something. And did it happen? Oh, yeah. Jehu said, are you with me? And throw her out. And what happened? The dogs came. It didn't happen. By the word of Jehovah. Go read the story for yourself. But you know, but what we're going to see about Ahab, because when you go read about it, when he became king, the scriptures say he was wicked. He was worse than all the ones that came before him. But look at something right here. There's a shift in his life. In verse 25. Indeed, there was never was anyone like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the eyes of Yahweh because Isabel, his wife, stirred him up. Now, we talked about yesterday about having our wives and wives take, you know, support your husband. Husband, support your wife because we are part of each other. So you'll probably get this point in Pastor's notes. I don't know. But that's going to show a husband and a wife here. And she stirred him up to do evil. And there was nothing like him. And he acted very abominably in fouling idols. Because what Isabel was, she was a Baal worshiper. She was sold out for this tree. According to all that the Amorites had done, whom Jehovah dispossessed from before the children of Israel. And it came to be, when Ahab heard those words, that he tore his garment. And he put sackcloth on his body, and fasted, and lay in sackcloth, and went softly. He knew he'd done wrong by conspiring. Because don't act like he didn't know. He knew after. He might have never knew that he wrote the letters in his name, but he knew after what he had done. He knew it was wrong. Like Brother Rob said the other day, a tool or something, whatever you had borrowed from the company, you brought it back because, look, it's not yours.
That's right.
And the word of Yehovah came to Eliyahu the Tishbite, saying, see how Ahab has humbled himself before me. Because he has humbled himself before me, I do not bring the evil in his days, but in the days of his son, I bring the evil on his house. Jehovah had compassion right there, even on King Ahab, after all that was done. Let me just try to shorten this up, but that's really something I got to get to that I want to read for this. But our loyalty has to be to him. But I want to read you something in Romans. In Romans, the first chapter, I'm going to start around let's start at verse 16. That's a good spot to start. Verse 16 says, so I am not ashamed of the good news of Messiah, for it is the power of Elohim for deliverance to everyone who believes, to the Yehudi first and also to the Greek. For it is the righteousness of Elohim is revealed from belief to belief, as it has been written, but the righteous shall live by belief. For the wrath of Elohim is revealed from heaven against all wickedness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. We can't do that. If we're gonna say this is the tree of life, we've got to say this is the tree of life and stick with it. Because that which is known of Elohim is manifest among them. For Elohim has manifested it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible qualities have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, both his everlasting power and mightness, for them to be without excuse. Because although they knew Elohim,
They did not esteem him as Elohim, nor give thanks, but became vain in their reasoning, and their undiscerning heart was darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and changed the esteem of the incorruptible Elohim into the likeness of an image of corruptible man, and of birds, and of four-footed beasts, and of reptiles. Therefore, Elohim gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to disrespect their bodies among themselves, who changed the truth of Elohim in what? Into falsehood. And worship and serve what was created rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Because of this, Elohim gave them over to degrading passions. For even their women exchanged natural relations for what is against nature. And likewise the men also, having left natural relations with women, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing indecency and receiving back the reward which was due for their straying. And even as they did not think it worthwhile to possess the knowledge of Elohim, Elohim gave them over to worthless minds to do what is improper. This is what happens when we turn away from the tree of life. This is what goes on in the world. All these things I just mentioned so far is going on in the world right now. Why? Because it's a mixture. And what is this world promoting? Like I said, we heard the other day. It's on your TV. It's on everything. It wants to catch all our attention. Anything to distract you, to keep your eyes out off the prize, off your inheritance. This is the way your inheritance lies. Yeah. That's why Naboth wouldn't give it up, no matter what. Even as they did not think it worthwhile to possess the knowledge of Elohim, Elohim gave them over to a worthless mind to do what is improper. Having been filled with all unrighteousness, whoring, wickedness, greed, evil, filled with envy, murder, fighting, deceit, evil habits, whisperers. That all comes from him. This is this tree. Slanderers, haters of Elohim. We say, that's none of us. Okay. Insolent, proud, boasters, devisers of evil, disobedient to parents. Uh-oh. Little children. It's a warning to all of us. One thing about Yah, he leveled the playing field for everyone. Yes. And we're what? Without excuse. Without discernment, unloving, unforgiving, ruthless. I know you'll think I forgot one. I'm just letting y'all think about that for a minute. Who thought they knew the righteousness of Elohim, that those who practice such deserve what? Death. There you go. That's why we're here. That's why we're talking about these two trees. One's going to lead us to life, and one's going to lead you to death. Die. That's bad when you die. Not only do the same, but also approve those who practice them. We got to warn, let people know, you got to get off that tree. Cling here. This is where Ruth clung to. Mm-hmm. Let's look at this one word that I passed over to see if y'all would pay. Covenant breakers. That probably catches all of us in here. And maybe I was a covenant breaker. So what does that look like? Someone who fails to uphold a solemn promise or agreement, particularly one made with Elohim or in a religious context. Where's your loyalty lying at tonight? That's the question. So this is a code, man. It really challenged me. Look, because it's tiresome waking up in the morning. But look, get up. I love it, man. Get up.
I really wish I should have took those 5 days. To get up and make, it's an honor to get up and have breakfast ready, get the coffee ready, you know, for the elders coming in, and whoever else is waking up a little later. I don't mind getting up early. What about in the biblical sense? A person, let's look at a covenant breaker, what it means biblically. That's just the English covenant breakers. Someone who failed to uphold a solemn promise or agreement. Biblically, a person who violates a sacred agreement or promise, particularly with Elohim, signifying a rejection of his authority and love. This is all about love and our love for him. This is where, you know, but it actually ends up, he wants to see it. That's why I had to read Deuteronomy account first, to see what's in our heart. Because he sees, I can't see, but he sees how much you put up your heart into this. And we go around with it. Look at everybody's tent. Look at everybody's little setup. You'll see their heart, how they went and really went all out and decorated, made it look nice. Because it's a time of celebrating. Yeah, he honors that. Mm-hmm. And you take time to go out. So give yourself a hand clap. Thank you, man. And visit each tent. Just take a good look at it. Because look, next year, it'll be more better. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm expecting. Mm-hmm. So anyway, there's a few more things. I kind of went quick through that. But my point was, we have to be committed. We have to be all in.
Amen.
You know, we can't, the wishy-washiness and up and down, and like I said, can't make up. We've got to be sounded because this world is perishing, Scripture says, and it's lust thereof. And if you're a friendship with the world,
yeah,
there you end in death. We want to choose life. I'm just saying that. Choose life. That's look, when the message went forth and I heard it, I had to choose life. And not only me, but for my seed. And that's who I'm choosing. I'm standing. Even though they're not here tonight,
amen,
I'm standing in the gap for them. You stand in the gap for your family,
amen,
your seed, your children, your loved ones. Look, there's so many people we talked about yesterday. I could have named so many people, you know. But it was just my sister came out in particular because the relationship we have, I know how she is. So, thank y'all. This is great.
Hallelujah.
I love each and every one of y'all. I'm going to tell you, I'm in it with you. Yeah, look. I'll do my best. And if I'm a little slacking or lacking a little bit, I know. All right.
I love you too.
Thanks for being a part of this.
Yes.
Father, I just want to thank you tonight for your word, for your goodness, and for your